Thanks for joining us. Today I'm speaking with Dr. Don Hansen, who is the CEO of Plato Investment Management, and he's also a director of the Plato Income Maximizer Fund, or PL8 as the ASX code is. Don, it's always good to talk to you. Last time we spoke, we were just about to head into the teeth of the storm as far as the COVID-19 epidemic was concerned. Have you been surprised what's come to pass in terms of the way these markets have performed since?
Look, I have been. I'm not surprised that actually the storm of the pandemic wasn't as bad as we thought, because I did think Australia is, you know, acted early. But I am very surprised that markets around the world, and probably more so in the US than here, have rebounded very, very strongly, because certainly in some sectors, I think it'll be still be a significant period of time before we see things getting back to normal.
When we last spoke, one of the themes that we were unpicking was the prospect of an income recession. And whilst that might be the case for some groups within the economy, it's been the opposite for others. There's no playbook for this situation. How have you tried to rationalise what's happened over the course of the last 3 months?
Well, I think we have got an income recession for particularly our client base, which are retirees, self-funded retirees. I think what's happened is that various support group things like JobKeeper and JobSeeker have meant that the incomes for many people have actually been maintained, in some cases even increased, giving them some spending power. But I think the one group that has missed out has been self-funded retirees, and clearly they're interest rates are close to zero now for at least the next couple of years, maybe longer. So that's pulled down term deposits and anything linked to cash rates. Dividend picture for stocks is a mixed one. Actually, there's some very bright spots. We actually think some companies will increase their dividends, and that's great. But then there are some soft spots, obviously, in the most affected areas like tourism and travel and, you know, the Qantas's and the Flight Centres and those things, which, I mean, really, until we have our borders opening up, which is, you know, freely, and we have free movement, international movement, I think those stocks are going to struggle, and that's from an earnings perspective. But in many cases, the markets have discounted that, and they've bounced back very, very strongly. But I can't see them getting back to normal operations for a couple of years.
Now, it's a good point that you make in relation to the recovery, because even stocks that have cancelled their dividend or cut them back have been involved in that recovery. How do you rationalise that?
Well, I mean, a classic one there is Harvey Norman. So, and I think, you know, the natural reaction for a lot of people, and even ourselves, was that we were cautious on retail sales and particularly consumer discretionary. And Harvey Norman reacted very quickly in cancelling its already declared dividend, in sort of April-ish. But what they've more recently announced is that sales are actually very, very strong. Yep. People are actually, you know, I've done it myself, you know, furnishing the home office, getting bigger screens and desks and all those sorts of things. And to some extent, they're not eating out, they can't eat out, they can't go on holidays, and they're spending money on other things. And so, whether it be Harvey Norman or Wesfarmers or, Woolworths, pretty strong sales results there, or JB Hi-Fi, very, very strong sales. And in fact, last week's retail sale numbers show that retail sales now are ahead of where they were a year ago. We're back above trend.
Yeah.
So a massive bounce back in May, but there are some soft spots, and the soft spots are cafes and restaurants, because they're still largely closed. And there aren't that many workers in the cities, so a lot of the cafes are struggling, the smaller businesses, but not many of those are listed. Clothing and footwear are also struggling.
Yeah.
And the department stores are struggling. But people are buying TVs and, say, computers and desks and those sorts of things, so they are going to the Harvey Normans. And Harvey Norman has reinstated, or actually now announced, it's going to pay a dividend, albeit a bit lower. So it's a complete turnaround in a couple of months. And so we are seeing that the economy is in many areas bouncing back quite strongly. But there are some weak areas like tourism and travel, which, as I say, they will be the last things to really open up, particularly international tourism and travel. It could be at least 2 years before we get back to normal, and, you know, for some people, they may never travel as much as they used to.
So the interesting point amidst all of that is that, you know, we saw that sharp downturn in terms of economic activity, massive support and stimulus from government and the Reserve Bank. So that rate of improvement, obviously very encouraging, but from here on in, that rate of improvement is going to necessarily be lower. How are you approaching the next 6 to 9 months, knowing that that improvement isn't going to necessarily have that durability that we've seen, for example, in the last month?
So we're focusing on the stocks where we see high quality earnings. Their earnings are more protected, but it still can be the JB Hi-Fi's or even the Harvey Normans of the world. But some of the, we're still steering clear of some of those tourism and travel stocks.
Vehemently or just watching them carefully?
Well, in most cases, we don't own those stocks. Yep. So, because I do think there's sort of a bit of a sucker's rally as people, are things getting better? Let's go buy those stocks. It sounds like are a few day traders racing around doing that. But I mean,
it's tempting because they've been left behind in the rally and you might think there's a bit in it, but you could get burnt.
Yeah, and the other thing to note is that many of those stocks have had to do discounted placements and rights issues.
Discounts.
So, often you'll go back, the share price was trading at $20 or what have you, and they're a quarter of it or half of it. But if they've issued 20 or 30% more shares, and it's probably going to be 2 or 3 years before their earnings are likely to get anywhere back to normal, and there's more shares on issue, that you may never get the same level of per share dividend or earnings from those stocks. So you've got to be, I think, a little cautious in there. But there are some very good pockets, and we've talked before about it, but iron ore miners are still going gangbusters. I mean, we would probably expect an increase in dividend from Fortescue. It's massive cash flows. And obviously, the world's going to have to spend on infrastructure to get out of this sort of mess, and plans have already been announced here in Australia and in China, etc. And so the outlook for steel, I think, is still very positive. Iron ore prices have held up very well over the course of this pandemic. There are some bright spots out there. And so it's a very mixed market. It's just probably a stock picker's market. There's some stocks to avoid, we think, that may not pay income for 2-3 years. There are others that will probably surprise on the upside.
Right. Are there any ones that you would put on that list in terms of upside surprises?
I think they are the obvious ones. We mentioned a couple, but in that consumer discretionary area, and even super retail, I think might come through. It's another one that sort of announced a cancellation of dividend, but it's
like some waxes to polish the car whilst you're working from home.
They've actually recently done a raise of equity, but to sort of increase their business. So they're actually investing in their business. So that's a positive sign, and we actually have seen a couple of companies like that. So, So I think we've mentioned most of them. Even I suppose in other areas, another one we think is quite a bright spot is gold miners.
Yep.
Within the REITs, clearly retail.
Let's just quickly recap on the gold miners. So
yep.
Obviously money creation on this scale, which has never been seen before. Just run through what that means for something like gold.
Well, if you think about any discount rate, et cetera, the price of assets should go up if the discount rate lowers.
Yep.
Now.
So gold is effectively at zero.
Yeah,
so
effectively
the value
zero.
Of something
so
could be infinite.
I won't say it's infinite, but it can be very large. So we've seen the gold price rise in that sort of environment. And indeed, the price of many assets. I think that's why the market has gone back very quickly, is because whilst for many stocks, the earnings will be affected for some years, even many years in some cases, if humans change their behaviour. If you're an iron ore miner or a gold miner, and in fact the price of your commodities either stayed high or gone up, you discount back future earnings of those stocks, and they should be worth more.
Yeah.
Another one is within the REIT section. We like the logistics types, so Goodman Groups and those sorts of groups, because they're benefiting because we're going to online sales and you need distribution centres and those sorts of things, and that's where they specialise in. They're not high yielding stocks, but their outlook is pretty good. On the other hand, you've got on the flip side within REITs, the retailers are under big pressure. I think there'll be many stores that when you do go back to your favourite mall, etc., you'll find that there are some stores that never reopen.
Yeah.
And even some of the bigger chains may not, will still be around, but they're rationalising their stores. They've got a couple of hundred stores, but they're actually saying, well, there's 15 or 20 that are marginal. We're just never going to reopen. And so landlords are under a hell of a lot of pressure because they're, you know, the rental they have on those retail properties will likely be lower. They'll likely have vacancy rates for stores that don't reopen. So, you know, even though discount rates are lower, I mean, if your earnings are a lot lower, then that's obviously factored into their price. Office is one where I think there's a bit of a debate, actually. You know, it seems to me that a lot of us are not going to come back to work very quickly. There'll be less demand for office space from that point of view. But the flip side is if we do come back into the office, you're not going to hot desk again. You're going to need more space. So yep. If we keep up the social distancing. And so, I mean, as an example, in our office, we could only ever, even if we had one of our team back together, in the space we have, we could only put half the team.
Yeah.
So we either need twice as much space, or we need to have half our people working at home and half at the office. Jury's still out where we're going, but at least for this year, our team's staying at home.
Now, you briefly touched on the iron ore stocks, and that really ladders up to a very important theme in terms of the way governments around the world are supporting economies at the moment, and it tends to be through infrastructure spending. So that means that there's a community of stocks that could do well out of that in the bigger picture. Are you positive on that group?
Well, we are. We're definitely positive on the big three iron ore miners: Fortescue, Pure Play, and Rio and BHP. I mean, the other thing, and it's good news, bad news story, is obviously Brazil is now one of the most affected countries, or possibly the most affected country in the world in terms of COVID, and that is impacting supply issues from the Australian miners' major competitor, which is Vale. So, and they've had other issues with dam closures, etc. So the iron ore picture is quite complicated because there's a few things happening, and so supply is somewhat restricted because of dam and COVID issues in Brazil. Demand is actually pretty strong out of China, and I think will grow over the rest of the world as we build more infrastructure. So I think it's quite a good picture. As you know, Brazil will get over this and reopen, and so that's, you know, that will probably dampen prices in the longer run. But if demand is stays very, very strong, then well, I think all iron ore miners will do pretty well.
Now, Don, one rather extraordinary thing, or probably less extraordinary if you think about what's happened with interest rates and where people can invest their money, there has been quite a tidal wave of humanity that's turned up to the stock market to invest in this very challenging period. For people who have only got a fairly limited experience when it comes to the stock market, how would you counsel them in terms of, you know, what you've seen happen in the last couple of months, and how to approach the medium term?
Well, I think you know, rising market lifts all boats. Basically, rising tide lifts all boats, and rising market does the same for stocks. And we've seen, I think you mentioned, the strongest bounce because we've seen that massive policy response. We've seen a very strong bounce from the bottom on March 23, and you know, if you were just long in pretty much anything, you've made money. And so, you know, people can get overconfidence, and there's a lot of psychological issues that people become very overconfident. They pick a couple of winners, but they pretty much could have invested in anything that would have gone up. I'd be more cautious going forward because I think that, as we've seen in the last couple of weeks, we actually have some bad numbers come out and stocks go down, and then we have some good numbers that bounce up. But I think we're going to have that volatility for some time. You know, I think we probably are through the worst of this recession,
yeah.
But I think it will be a sort of a zigzaggy recovery. You know, we'll be going up, but there'll be, you know, one step forward, one step back, as we're seeing now in Victoria and potential second waves in other countries. And so I think the easy money's been made. So be cautious.
Good wisdom, as always. Thanks very much for your time, Don.
Thanks, Tom.
And thanks for joining us for the Executive Series.